Turn your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Okay. John chapter 14, and we're going to look at verse number 6. We'll read all together. Verse number 6, John 14. John chapter 14, verse number 6, and we'll read this all out loud together. Ready? Begin. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your care and guidance to us. I ask you, please help us now as we have the message. Would you be with our pastor? Continue to give strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Sorry. Just
he talks too fast. Oh, let me get set. That's what you get in an old man. Pawpaws don't move fast. They just keep moving. Amen. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. John 14:6 is a powerful verse. I want you to notice Jesus is speaking. Of course, all of the Bible is God's words. But he says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Yes, sir. Now notice, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We also know that Jesus is the Word of God. So he's talking about the Bible here and himself. Now, let me lay the foundation, and I can't walk around and it's killing me. But I need your attention. And I mean this when I say this. Many of you take notes. Throw your pen out right now. I will give you my outline. It's already printed. It's already done. It's going to be handed to you at the end of the service. I want to preach to your mind tonight and to your heart, not your head. I want to preach to you. Jesus and the Bible are truth. They don't contain the truth. They are the truth. Be wary of religious people that says, well, the Bible contains the truth of God. No, the Bible is the truth of God. You say, why? Because the Bible and the words of God are absolute truth. I want you to notice that statement. Absolute truth. Man wants to be his own God. That's due to our sin. And man wants to decide truth for himself. Well, preacher, I don't see it that way. I don't care. That's what God said. Yes, sir. Well, I don't have a conviction about that. Don't care. That's what God said. Well, I don't believe that. Don't care. That's what God said. You see, the word of God is absolute truth, not the words of man, not the words of religion. It is the words of God that are absolute truth. Now, man wants to make himself the center of truth, not the Bible. Now, here we go. This means that God and the Bible are the basis of right and wrong, not what we humans think.
Yes, sir. That's right.
This is true in every area of life. I don't care what area of life it is. I'm not just talking about religion. I'm talking about Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That means all of life is in him. God breathed into man the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Now watch this. God's interested in every part of our life, not just our spiritual life. Most Christians are one-third Christian at best. They're spiritual. But their body and soul live like the devil. Man, it's getting quiet up here. See, it not, matters not what sinful man thinks. God is absolute truth. Romans chapter 3, just a few pages over. You need not turn there. I'll read it out of the only book God wrote, the King James Bible. God forbid, yea, let God be true and every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Notice what God said, let God be true, truth, and every man a liar. It doesn't matter how good of a man it is, if God didn't say it, if it's not in God's word, it's not truth. Everybody doing okay? Now, hang on for a second. We're about to hit the trail a bit here. You can deny all day long that there's such a thing called gravity. Can't see it. You can say, I don't believe it's there. But if I drop my keys, they're going to hit the ground. Say, why'd you do that? Because I can't pick them up. I did think through that one, didn't I? Yeah, no, I made it easy on you. Now, wait a minute. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to understand it. You just have to know it's a truth. Gravity is a truth whether you understand it or not. Gravity is a truth whether you can see it or not. It is established by God to keep you from flinging off this thing at 24,000 miles or 1,000 miles an hour. This world's spinning at 1,000 miles an hour. It's moving around at 1,000 miles an hour. That's why there's 24 hours. Now think about that. You think somebody driving down the highway at 80 is fast, multiply that by a lot. And that's how fast the world's spinning. Now, this means that right and wrong in every situation is to be determined by God and the Bible, not man. Let me say that again. Right and wrong in every situation is to be determined by the Bible and the words of God, not man. I don't care what culture says. I don't care what your friends say. I don't care what society says. I don't care what the politicians say. Matter of fact, I really don't care about that one. I care about what does God say. Let God be true and every man a liar. I don't care what education says. What does God say? 2 plus 2 is 4. Education can't change that. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Education shouldn't change that. Two bulls don't make a cow. Education shouldn't change that. Everybody doing okay? What does God say? As a pastor, it is my job to apply the Bible in counsel and preaching to everyday life. It's my job to take this book and show you how to apply it to your everyday life. That means there are times, by the way, it's what I would call using a Bible principle. Did you know that the Bible doesn't say thou shalt not drink beer? But drinking beer is wrong, I can prove it. Just because it doesn't use the word doesn't mean the principle's not there. Everybody see where I'm headed with that? All right. Just because you can come up with a sin that's got a different name in it than the Bible doesn't mean God didn't cover it. So it's my job as pastor, as a counselor, to use the most right principle in the Word of God for every situation. Hour upon hour upon hour upon hour last week, I sat with a pastor and an assistant pastor fielding questions. I mean, hours. Over a couple dozen hours. Did nothing but field questions. There were days I got back to my cabin and collapsed because I was just mentally wore out. Now, It is my job to find the principles that fit and that are most right in every situation. You see, it's my job to help show you in the Bible where it says that is the best principle by which to live. I'll take a phone call in a couple hours. I'm trying to help a young man. I'm giving him two rights to choose from, not two wrongs, and not a right and a wrong. I'll give him two rights by which to choose from. I know which one I think is the greater right, but guess what? If he takes the lesser right, he's still right. It wasn't the right his parents thought, but it's the right that the Bible says. Now, watch this. Circumstances don't decide truth. Truth decides what to do in every circumstance. There's a difference. You don't live by the circumstance. You live by the truth. And when this certain circumstance comes up, you find out what God says and live by the truth, not by the circumstance. Now, I will pass out. I'm going to make 10 statements in the next 32 minutes. I'm going to explain them quickly. I have about 3 minutes a point. So I'm going to have to move quickly. You don't have to take notes. I have them already printed out. They're typed so you can read them. 12-point font. No, they're there, and I want you to listen to me. You will get far more by listening if you listen tonight. So please listen to me. How to decide by principle how to make a decision. Number one, I don't want to disobey a Bible command. First thing you ought to say is there a command in the Bible that I would disobey by doing this? Does that not make sense? 1 John chapter 2, turn there for a second. Very quickly, 1 John chapter 2. Oh, that was not almost good. 1 John chapter 2, look at verse number 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And he saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Skip over to chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Watch this. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Most people view rules as bad. If you do, you don't love God. Rules are good, not bad. Rules keep you from bad. The only reason you hate rules is because you want to do bad. Plain and simple. This is how we love God. When I used to have to discipline my children, I used to tell them, look, did I disobey? No. Did your mom disobey? No. Did so-and-so disobey? No. Who disobeyed? I did. Okay. And God told me, as your daddy, I'm supposed to do this to you. That means this. I love God enough, and I love you enough to obey God. You didn't love mommy and daddy enough to obey, therefore this is what you get. I taught them that it is a love issue more than anything. The keeping of rules is a love issue. Now, I've got to hurry. By the way, this is how you get to know God. You get to know God by knowing his commandments. You get to know God by obeying his commandments. The more you obey, the more you get to know. Number two. Number one, I don't want to disobey a Bible command. So, does it violate a Bible command? Number two, I don't want to do anything that creates an appetite for something that has no proper fulfillment. There are some things that may not be wrong, but it creates a desire that if it's not under the right circumstances would be wrong. And it creates an appetite. This happens a lot when people take vacations. You do things that you wouldn't normally do, and it's outside your norm. But the question is, are you creating an appetite for something? My mother used to say it this way. Your children are a mirror of your extremes. What you allow once will be their norm. Pretty well said. Pretty well said. This is true at work. Well, I can take an extra 15 minutes here. Nobody will know. But you're creating an unhealthy appetite that lacks fulfillment. This is true on vacations. This is true at home. Well, nobody else knows. It's my house. Nobody else sees my phone. Nobody else sees my computer. You're creating appetites for something that don't have a proper fulfillment. We don't need anything that leads us into something that could lead into an improper fulfillment. For instance, everybody look at me for a minute. I'm going to mention two things here. There's nothing sinful about roller skating. But I won't allow our kids, our young people, or our school to go to a skating rink. And I'll tell you why. You say, well, you could rent it out, preacher. You're right, I can. But I've just created an appetite for something for kids to do when I don't rent it out. Then what? Then they're there with the worldly people and the rock music and the dancing and the hanging all over everybody crowd. So why should I create an appetite that doesn't have a good fulfillment? Does that make sense to everybody? You heard me say, I don't think it's sinful to roller skate. I do know it's sinful to listen to their own music. But why would I take our kids to a place, now watch this, where they may go once and it's okay, but the next time they want to go, well, I went there with Brother Anthony. It's okay to go there, Mom. But Brother Anthony's not there, and Brother Anthony's not controlling the music, and it's not okay. See the problem? Therefore, it's easier for me to say, we're not going. Now, again, I'm not saying it's sinful. But I'll guarantee there's more sin that takes place at a skating rink when we're not controlling it. And do you want your kids around that? Let me give you another illustration. I'm against the movie theaters for a lot of reasons. But one of them is this. It creates an appetite in young people and other people that, well, I can go see this one. It's a good one. But you've started a habit that now needs to be satisfied again. A habit, an appetite, is only fulfilled by redoing the appetite, increasing the appetite. You don't eat pizza one time and say, boy, that was good, I'll never eat it again. The only way you fulfill the appetite is to resupply it. Therefore, okay, that one may have been good. But what about the one you go see that's not? Well, it really wasn't that good. But you've started a habit now that you've got to keep fulfilling. That's just one of the reasons. Number three. Everybody doing okay? All right, somebody say amen. Because you're not going to like this one. I don't want anything that would impair my ability to serve God by weakening my health or diminishing my faculties. Yeah, I guess I'm not hunting no more. No, I'm not changing tree stands that way again. Now, wait a minute. Is what I'm about to do going to cause me to potentially have bad health? Smoking, drinking, driving fast, drugs, illicit drugs, immorality, all the things, listen to me very carefully here. Those are things that potentially will destroy your health and diminish your ability to serve God. The only way I can serve God is with my body and my soul. My Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Therefore, glorify God in your body, which is God's. Not yours, it's God's. Correct? That means my hands, my eyes, my feet, my foot, my legs, my mouth, my ears, my tongue. Everything here has to serve God, and whatever I do to diminish that, I probably shouldn't do. As I've gotten older, there's certain things I don't do so that I stay healthy longer. I'm trying to prolong how strong I can be and project it for as long as I can. So I don't go out and cut wood anymore. Because my back doesn't handle it because of some bone issues I've got in my back. So I'm not going to throw 200-300-pound logs around and be bent over for hour upon hour upon hour because that destroys my back. So why should I do that and hurt myself and not be able to pasture you as strongly as I can? So I don't do some of those things. I'm just going to stop with that because I got so much I got to cover here. There's no verse in the Bible that says thou shalt not cut your tongue out or poke your eyeballs out. But doing this will harm your ability to serve God. God says, if your right eye offend thee, pluck it out. If it offend thee, if it's stopping you from doing right, get rid of it. Get rid of what's stopping you. Everybody doing okay? I'm not saying go home and poke your eyeballs out. Or your husband's. Number four. And let me just back up for a second. I was listening to Brother Roloff the other day. Man, he was back in the 1970s. He said, why are these preachers not preaching against people smoking and dipping and chewing? And why aren't they preaching against, why do we have so many drunkards out there? Because we've got preachers that are out there getting drunk with them. Man, he was going at it. There's nobody in the world that can smoke a cigarette and say, I'll never die of cancer. You're not that stupid. Let's face it. And yet we'll let something that big control us. Or a little can of stuff. Moving on. I went to meddling. Number four. I don't want to financially support those that are fighting God. This is important. Let's go back to the movie theater. Look how many of those people are anti-God. And you support them. Every time you go. Be careful giving to good causes. You have a good heart. And I understand that. But let me give you some. United Way is the biggest supporter of abortions. Yep, they give to the terrorists and they give to abortion more than any group in the world. You can say what you want, but I don't give to the public school system teaching an anti-God philosophy. They take enough of my taxes. I'm not going to give them the rest of my money. I'm not against helping relief funds, but you better make sure you give it to people where they're getting 100% of it. I'd rather find a church down there that needs help and us give as a church to them and you give a special offering than you to give through most of these GoFundMe things and everything else. You're just losing your money. Red Cross. I'm not against blood, but I am against Red Cross because they're doing things that you would not believe with your money. They're bringing the immigrants into America. They're letting our soldiers pay their own way and pay them back for their flights when they have emergencies, but they can bring illegal immigrants across the borders by the millions. A lot of the cancer agencies, some of them are good, most of them are not. Be careful. I said some are good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not against all of them. But you better find out Shriners. Do you know who the Shriners are? Look it up one day. They're not a Christian organization. It's very demonic. Man, is it getting quiet in here? They like it better when I stomp and pound the pulpit. It doesn't get as quiet, amen? Number five, and I'm on time. I don't want to please Satan in my stand for God. You can stand for God and please the devil at the same time. Satan doesn't want you to do bad. He just doesn't want you to do what God wants you to do. Young people, listen to me. I'm gonna make a statement as your preacher. I want you to listen to me. There's going to be a lot of adults in your lifetime ask you, what do you want to do with your life? Your answer should be, whatever God wants me to do, not what you want to do. You'll be far happier doing what God wants you to do than doing what you want to do any day. You heard Brother Kuoko this morning say virtually the same thing. I'd rather spend my entire life in the will of God than one day outside of it. I mean that. I believe being in the will of God allowed me to only hurt my heel and not break my neck, my back, my hips, everything else when I fell the other day. I think God said, you stupid. I'll catch you, but you're going to pay the price on that one. Now, wait a minute. I think being in the will of God made it much less than what it could have been. I'm very thankful that's all it is. I know people that died from those. I know people that have, I know a guy that fell out of a stand like that, came down stiff-legged, shoved his legs all the way up past his hips, broke his ankles, broke his knees, broke his hips, shattered his pelvis, and never walked again in his life. I know people that have broken their back, their neck, paralyzed, quadriplegics, paraplegics, you name it. I'm very thankful. I got a bum foot. That's it. I'll put up with it. You see, I don't want to please Satan as I please God. The devil doesn't care what you do as long as you don't do what God wants you to do. See, I know people that surrendered to do something that they wanted to do and they shouldn't have done it because it wasn't what God wanted them to do. I don't think you have a right to make a decision what God wants you to do till you're old enough to make that decision. Say, when's that? When you're in Bible college. Probably the latter years of it. I won't tell somebody. If one of our young people thinks God wants them to be a missionary, good, but don't surrender to be a missionary. Surrender to do whatever God wants you to do. I thought I'd be a missionary when I was 13 years old. That's about as far cry as you can get. I'm in West Virginia. I guess that is the mission field, but... Satan wants you to do what you want to do, not what God wants you to do. Well, I'm at church. You might be at church, but you might not be doing the right thing. We need to eliminate self from all the equations and put God in it. How does this affect me? No. How much does this cost me? No. How much does it cost God? We don't have time to turn there, but 1 John 2:15-16, God talks about this. And you can look at it later. 1 John 2:15 and 16. We're not here to impress the world. We're here to get the gospel to the world. We're here to reach every person we can reach. Can I tell you something? There's not a place I want to go in the world. I'm happy right here. This is the will of God. But when I was in Winthrop, Maine last week, I was in the will of God. When I'm in East Texas coming up here, I'll be in the will of God. But this is the will of God. I know what the devil's doing. He'll get me tempted a little bit with travel. I've done it enough. It's not tempting. Well, you could be important. No, I'm a pastor. I'm not going to travel all the time. I'm going to help what preachers I can. But I'm not impressed with travel. Number six. Are we doing okay? I don't want to do anything that would have an appearance of sin or evil. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse number 22-ish. Abstain from all, what's the next word? Appearance of evil. God didn't say abstain from all evil. He said abstain from even the appearance of evil. Okay. This is where your preacher goes off the rocker with most preachers. It may not be sinful, but how's somebody else going to look at it? If you drove to work every day and preacher was coming out of a certain bar that's on your way to work every day, what would you think? Because you left before me. Seriously, it would have an appearance. I could tell you I'm preaching there every day. But it has an appearance of evil, doesn't it? All right, hang on. That's why I'm not ever in a car alone with a woman that's not my wife or related to me. Mrs. Barnes and I, when we were working on this building, there were many times we had to go to the engineer's office. We drove two cars. Say why? Could have saved money. Yeah, but I didn't want to have an appearance of evil. Plain and simple. If they're not related to me, they're not getting in the car. Say, preacher, that's a little ridiculous. Might be to you, but I'm safe. I don't go to a bar to eat steak. Or I don't go to a bar to eat fish. Amen, Dad? My grandfather taught me that lesson. I thought it was a restaurant because they had great fish. It's called Tim's Fish, but he didn't tell me that there was another word in there because I was too little to read. It was Tim's Bar. Well, Grandma got home and she said, "What'd y'all have for lunch?" I said, "We had Tim's Fish." Fred! Oh, he said, "You're not supposed to tell her everything." He got a good ear chewing that day. Who did he ever? I didn't know it was a bar. She said, "Where did you go?" I said, "Oh, it's that little white building, but it was real dark inside." Yeah, it didn't go over real good with Grandma. You know, I don't want to be around evil people. I don't want to have an appearance of evil. By the way, I don't want to play things that appear evil. I don't want to watch things that appear evil. I don't watch sci-fi and all this satanically influenced stuff. Some of you are allowing Satanism into your life by the hours, by what you play and what you watch. It has an appearance of evil. I better hurry. Number seven. I don't want to do anything that makes another Christian look bad. Okay, maybe I better turn and look this way. This is why I keep the speed limit. I don't think it's appropriate for a preacher to get speed tickets all the time. What kind of testimony is that? It's been 35 years since I've had a speeding ticket. Matter of fact, it's been 35 years and 4 months. You say, how do you know? Because I got one going to my wedding. I know what day it was. Now, wait a minute. What was that? See what you get for thinking? Now, wait a minute. I don't think it's appropriate for a preacher to have a testimony of getting speeding tickets all the time. I don't think it's funny. It's breaking the law. So I keep the speed limit. Now, I might get to the speed limit in world record time, but I'm not afraid to get up and get on it, amen? But I keep the speed limit. I never worry about getting a speeding ticket. You say, why? Because I believe that's the right thing for me to do as a preacher. There are certain cars I would never own, only because I don't think it's right for my position. My favorite car is a Mustang. I'll never own one. I love Brother Scott's. I love Brother Aaron's. I'd love to drive both of them. I'm not going to. Say why? It's an appetite that doesn't have a good fulfillment. That's the principle. But I don't think it's appropriate for me as a pastor to pull up making visits in cars like that. Because the first thing people think of, oh, he's got enough money for one of those. He's one of those kind of preachers. My dad had a Lincoln MKZ or whatever that thing for a while. And I loved the car, but I'd never owned it. No way. Not because it's a bad car. I don't think it's the right fit for me as a pastor. It sets off something that shouldn't be. Does that make sense to everybody? So there are some things that I won't do just because as a pastor, as a Christian, it just may, I'm not saying that it's wrong to have those things, but as a pastor, there's some things I just won't do. Everybody doing okay? That's why I always try to think, how's this going to look to everybody else as a Christian? I don't want to go places that could cause some people to wonder. I probably should say it, but I'm going to. I don't go to these places that have water parks. Because I don't want to be walking around someplace in public with everybody walking around with less than their underwear on. I don't think that has a good appearance for me and my family. So I stay away from it. And we took our cruise, but the only time we were on deck is when around where the pool was we knew how to avoid it and go to where we were going without walking by it. Say why? Because I didn't want to see all that mess. I don't go places where there's people walking around like that. I think it's wrong. When somebody can walk in public, then what most women wear less than that for than they do their own underwear. It just doesn't make sense to me. The preacher, I don't think you ought to say it. Well, I did. I don't go to public venues where it's really raucous and worldly. I've quit going to professional sporting events because most of the time it's nothing but a rock concert. And your head just... You got people getting drunk and I don't want to put up with that. Last time I went to an Orioles game, I just about got in a fight with two guys that wouldn't stand up for the national anthem, and they were already tanked at the beginning of the game. And by the fourth inning, I had all I could take and said, fellas, I'm leaving. See you later. I'll wait for you at the car. Because I was losing my cool, and it's not worth it. I did not want to put up with it. I could go home and watch it on the stupid television and not have to put up with that. And I can mute the music, and I'm done. I just don't put myself in places like that because I just don't think it's right for me to have to fight that. Make sense to everybody? I don't want to do anything that the world would hurt my ability to minister to other people. One time I did a funeral service. It was actually a memorial service in a bar. I had 8 guys from the church with me, made them quit serving alcohol 30 minutes before I got there. They turned every light bulb on they could find in the building, and no drinking while I was there. Had 32 people saved, had 4 of them leave the building, go to the church, and I baptized them that afternoon, Sunday afternoon, and they came to church that night even. You want to go to a bar that way? That's one thing. But past that, I don't go into them. I'm going to watch my mouth and my attitude in public so that I don't sound like a lost person. Be careful at a sporting event that you don't get guilty of being just as foul-mouthed and nasty as everybody else. Moving on, number 8. I don't want to put myself in a place of temptation. Is what I'm about to do going to cause me to be tempted to do something wrong later? Let me use something very obvious. If you had a problem drinking, it's probably best not to go somewhere where they serve it. Now, I'll be honest with you. You could line up every bottle across here, open it up, and it wouldn't tempt me to do anything but pour it out on the ground. Because that's the nastiest stuff this side of Hades. I don't see how anybody wants to choke that down their throat. And especially beer. Looks like came out of somewhere else. But why do you put yourself in a place of temptation? Now, I realize that's a hard principle by which to live these days. Because you can't go to the gas station. You can't go anywhere where they're not selling booze anymore. But I never sit by the bar at any restaurant. And if I've got somebody with me that I know struggles with it, I'll find a restaurant that doesn't have it and go there. Now, it's no temptation to me, but my dad and my wife and I were going out not too long ago. I think we were going to Glory Days. And they started, I said, hold it. I said, this side. They said, oh, okay. I said, a Baptist preacher and a bar don't go together too well. Yeah, that wouldn't be real good, would it? I said, no. It doesn't bother me. Everybody doing all right? If you struggle with the wrong music, don't play the radio in your vehicle. Don't put yourself in places that cause you to want to do wrong. Okay, I'm going to say something here that is not sinful. But I'll show you, even in a spiritual realm, there's a place in D.C. and there's some others around the country. They have what they call Bible museums. And to the average lost person, it's pretty good. And to even many Christians, it's okay. I don't want to go there. I know more about it than the people that probably run the museum. And I'm going to show you every place where they're wrong, and they've taken you down a wrong road here and wrong road there, wrong road there, wrong road there. And I don't want to stand there and get mad and tell them how wrong they are. If I'm to go there and enjoy it, why do I want to go there and get mad? Because I know I'm going to get mad. It's not wrong for you to go. But just realize it's not independent fundamental. It's probably not all the way right. Everybody understand that? But I don't go to a place like that because I don't want to get mad. And those kind of places make me mad because it's bad doctrine. Number 9. I don't want to cause someone else to do wrong. If my doing this causes somebody else to do wrong, I won't do it. just because I can do something and not be tempted doesn't mean somebody else won't be tempted to do wrong because I did it. See, I might be able to do it, but somebody else may not be able to because that's their area of weakness. Isn't it amazing how strong we are as Christians about things where we were once weak? I choose to not do things that could lead others to do something wrong. I don't talk about things or do things that I will know cause somebody to get upset or angry. We all have family members that don't agree with us. We all do. But that doesn't mean you have to sit there and argue about it every time you see them. I have a lot of my family, both sides, my wife's side, my side, that don't agree with us. I don't care. I love them anyway. We just learned what not to talk about. Say why? I don't even go down the road with them. But when they're in an area of offense to me, I don't volunteer to help because I'm not going to pay for their wrong. Plain and simple. Boy, that's good stuff. Therefore, I don't get upset. They don't get upset. We can all be one happy family. We just avoid that which causes the contention. Number 10, and I'm done. I want everything to appear as God approves of it. That way, I can please Him. I've got to find what is the most pleasing to God in the situation and apply it to that situation. I'm going to read what I wrote here, and then I'm going to finish. I want to look like a Christian, not just at church. I want to look like a Christian all the time. I do. Now, I'm not always dressed in a suit and tie, but I can still look like a Christian. I want to sound like a Christian, not just at church. Too many people visit Christianity. He's not the center of our life. He's just part of our life. As I said this morning, you know, God doesn't want to be part of your body. It is His. I want to be a Christian so that wherever I am, the people will know that they can listen to me. It'll be all right. I was in line at BWI on my way to Maine. I helped a lady that we were at TSA, and she turned around. She said, "Are you a preacher?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." I had my blue jeans on. I had short sleeve pullover shirt on. I said, "Yes, ma'am." Reached in my briefcase and handed her a tract. She said, "I knew you were just by the way you talked and the way you're dressed." She said, "No, it's the way you carry yourself." She said, "I could tell." I hadn't been on the airplane 30 seconds. One of the stewards was walking by and he bumped my shoulder, and I already had my Bible out and was starting to get things ready to work. And it happened to be a black fella. And he said, "Pastor, I'm sorry." He walked by and he came back. I said, "How'd you know I'm a pastor?" He said, "Well, I thought it was pretty obvious." Okay. Same blue jeans, same pullover shirt. Maybe we just ought to look and act like a Christian all the time. Those are 10 statements by which, if you'll ask yourself in every situation, and then you search the Word of God for the answer, you never have to make a wrong decision. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder, are we deciding what we want in every situation, or are we deciding what God wants in every situation? Is it how we remember, or what does God say? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Maybe we ought to better get back in line with the Word of God, not what we think.